The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today
FM. Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, and Senator Barry Ward of Fine Gael are with us. But first, let's hear a little bit of the new leader of Fine Gael, the incoming Taoiseach, Simon Harris, setting out his stall in a speech yesterday.
Under my leadership, Fine Gael stands for supporting businesses, especially small businesses, across the length and breadth of this country. Fine Gael stands and will always stand for making work pay, for making sure we value work and we value people who go to work. Fine Gael stands for supporting education and educational pathways. No matter who you are, where you come from, or what your mother or father did before you, we want you to be able to reach your full potential in Ireland. And when we talk about equality of opportunity, one of our core values, we must work every day to make sure it's never a hackneyed old slogan that gets trotted out at elections, but instead that it is a value that we weave through all our work and everything we do. Fine Gael stands for law and order. This is the party that established an Garda Síochána. We stand on the side of the Gardaí. We stand for streets that are safe and crime that is never allowed to go unchecked. And in a week where I saw the tricolour of this republic draped over the coffin of a Garda killer, I say shame. Let's take our flag back. Take it back. Take our flag back.
So Daniel McConnell, that was get up the yard bit at the end, was it, to get the troops inspired?
Well, it's never an easier kind of trope to kind of dish out of the Fine Gael thinking is than to bash the shinners, and that's what he did yesterday. Like, I think what we saw from Simon Harris, I think it was trailed to the media on Sunday. Like, our front page story in the Business Post was very much a kind of a back to basics, and I think he certainly doubled down on a lot of those messages in his speech yesterday in Athlone. I think emphasising law and order. I think very interestingly that he spoke out in support of small and medium enterprises, because I think under Leo Varadkar's watch, there's a perception that, you know, Leo and Pascal were very good for FDI and the big multinationals, but not so good on small and medium
enterprises. And there's an awful lot of small business owners around the country who believe that they've had an awful lot of costs imposed upon them.
Make that point.
And many of them are actually closing their businesses rather than trying to deal with them.
There's an estimate, a rolling estimate of about between 1.6 billion and 2 billion euro in extra costs that have been lumped on small and medium enterprises from government policy alone in the last 2 or 3 years. So Fine Gael have a job of work to do in relation to that. I thought the law and order stuff was fascinating, because I'd say Helen McEntee sitting through all of that must have been doing so very uncomfortably. And I think it is feeding into a mindset that she may not be long for the Department of Justice. She might stay in cabinet, but she could very well see herself moved elsewhere, and it would allow Simon Harris to reset that narrative very
quickly. And we'll get back to that in a moment, but to Senator Barry Ward of Fine Gael, just on that point of small businesses, because we have about 300,000 people employed in FDI companies, and then we've lots of people who depend on that. But there are many more people who are employed in small businesses throughout the country, and a lot of them are actually fearful that increases in things like the minimum wage and pension requirements and things that may be socially good are financial burdens that they cannot tolerate. So how worried would you be that those are the voters you're going to lose in the local and European and then later in the general election?
Well, the first thing is that small business and medium enterprises are the backbone of the economy. There is a huge number of people, as I say, employed, but also a huge number of services provided at local level, people employed at local level, and taxes paid at local level. So we cannot abandon them. You're right insofar as the burden has increased on them. So it's now time to match that with incentives and supports for businesses. And we saw huge supports for them, for example, during the pandemic, many of which were driven by my colleague Regina Doherty and through Leo Varadkar in the Department of Enterprise subsequently. That needs to continue, and there should be no business that's closing because of increasing the minimum wage. In fairness, I speak to business.
But does that mean government will provide equivalent supports to companies that cannot afford the increased costs of doing business that have been state imposed?
Well, they're state imposed, but they're there for the good of everybody in society. I think the government absolutely needs to look at supporting those businesses. I have to say, speaking to businesses in my own area in Dún Laoghaire, a lot of them wouldn't have been paying minimum wage. They would already have been topping that up themselves. But there's no doubt it is a burden. And Fine Gael is very much about supporting enterprise, supporting business. And I think there will be a long look at what can be done to make sure that no business is closing because of the changes in minimum wage and pension requirements.
What about the point that Danny just brought up there in relation to law and order, that there is effectively an implicit admission that you haven't done a good job despite holding the position of the Department of Justice?
I don't think that implicit admission is there at all.
I think everyone else thinks it is.
No government in the history of the state has spent as much or invested as much in Agóide Síochána as this one has.
You're still way down on the numbers that we actually need for the size of the population.
Well, last year we were only 200 behind the projected number of recruits, for example. We're constantly trying to increase that number. Helen McEntee in October 22 made sure there was enough money in the budget to run that recruitment campaign to put in 400 civilian support staff into Agóide Síochána to get more Gardaí out in the street. She has worked really hard putting in place more powers from Agóide Síochána.
You're getting more Gardaí retiring than you're having new recruits.
Now, the number has actually gone up, but it's not where we want it to be.
You're nowhere near the 15,000 you need.
We're not at the 15,000 we need, but we are. There are more members being put into the force now than have been for a very, very long time. And you've got to remember as well that we're recovering from the fact that Templemore was closed during COVID. And that had an impact on our ability to recruit people and bring new members in. But they are coming. And there's again the target of recruitment of 800 to 1,000 Gardaí this coming year. That is being made. We are making the target on that. So people can rest assured that Fine Gael is committed to putting more Gardaí in the street. And I would say that it's something that is said to me a lot of times, Ireland is statistically safe. It is. Dublin is safe, but it's no good if people don't feel safe, and we're determined to make sure that people do feel safe on the streets.
Have you walked around O'Connell Street recently?
I have. I walked down O'Connell Street
every day. Did you have guard protection when you were doing so?
No, I didn't. And I know what people say, and I understand, and I see things I don't want to see on O'Connell Street. I don't feel unsafe, but it's easy for me to say that as a man, and not a small man either. I understand there are more vulnerable people who do suffer, but as I said, we are committed to making sure that people feel safe when they walk around Dublin and other cities and towns.
Your parliamentary party colleague, Michael Ring, over the weekend demanded that you return to core values, saying that Fine Gael has been too left for too long. But what he said specifically was that he wants the hate bill gone, the hate speech bill. Is this something that is going to be diluted by Fine Gael now as a result of opposition from certain parliamentary party members?
I don't know, and I don't think so.
Should it be?
But it's not up to me to say.
I'm on record position
being
on
in favour of the hate speech legislation. I think it's important to protect specific groups in society. It doesn't mean it's immune from criticism. It has been criticised a lot, but I think it's a very important piece of legislation to update legislation that goes back to 1989 when everybody didn't have the internet in their pocket, for example. The original prohibition on incitement to hatred Act 1989 doesn't have any concept of online trolling and all the other things that we see happen. But I think Simon Harris made his priorities clear yesterday in Athlone. He talked about a return to grassroots value for Fine Gael. He pointed out things like law and order. He pointed out a return to those issues. And that's got to be welcome. And I think refocusing and a refreshing of government has got to be a welcome thing. And I can tell you that if you were in Athlone yesterday, the energy that was in that room as Simon Harris took over as leader was extraordinary. And I think we're entering a period of real rejuvenation for Fine Gael and for this government.
Well, I'll get back to that in a second. But Daniel McConnell, as editor of the Business Post, what's your assessment of the political difficulties that could be caused to the government if it was to enact the hate speech bill? Or is this something that has just been amplified by a small fringe who are using it as a wedge tactic?
I think it has become a bit of a lightning rod for, I suppose, criticism for the government essentially making an issue of something that's not really an issue. I think their issues are also being conflated here. There's a hate crime bill and hate speech is as part of that. And I think I think what we're probably likely to see is, you know, because it is a programme for government commitment, I think the government will probably look to reassess the breadth of the hate crime bill. And I would not be surprised if the hate speech element gets watered down, kicked to touch or whatever like that.
But is that not an implication that there are TDs from Fine Gael and indeed in Fianna Fáil who actually want to allow people to say absolutely hateful things that might be an incitement to violence?
I think it's probably a recognition, Matt, that they got it so badly wrong in terms of the referendums, and when they weren't able to answer simple questions like what is a durable relationship, is it credible to say, oh, we'll leave it up to the courts to decide exactly what the definition of durable relationship relationships or families are actually are. I think there is a, you know, I think it's a bit of a taking stock moment within Fine Gael that they basically need to just be as open and as clear as they can be. And I think if there's any doubt or any fudge, we're so late in the political cycle, they'll find a way to kick it into another Oireachtas committee to clarify that.
Okay, but does this suggest that perhaps that there's a split in Fine Gael, that you have different wings of the party who are not necessarily coalescing themselves, that the likes of the Michael Rings might be different to the likes of the Barry Ward sitting here?
Well, I think, as Fine Gael probably would say, they're a broad church and there's a range of views, and that's speaking like a politician, but I would think that if Simon Harris, because he's meeting Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan on Wednesday ahead of cabinet, I suppose, to redefine what are the priorities left in the programme for government. You know, the phrase used to me today when I was being briefed in relation to this was, you know, a dusting down of priorities. And I think what Simon Harris will have to do is say, what are the wins that I can actually get over the line between now and the next general election? What are the early wins I can get over the line before the local and European elections? Hate speech is certainly not one of them. So as I said, I think there's one that he might just term as leader. That's one, you know, we'll progress with the vast majority of the hate crime bill, but hate speech might be looked at again at a later date.
Barry, one of the things we heard there from Simon Harris in that speech yesterday about making work pay and the people who go to work, very similar rhetoric to the type that Leo Varadkar once had about rewarding the people who get up early in the morning. But what does it actually mean? Because what was done for them by Leo Varadkar, what does Simon Harris intend to do differently?
Well, what's important about it is that we know there is a large quota of people who are going out to work, who are working incredibly hard, who are paying a huge amount of tax, who are, you know, serving the economy in lots and lots of ways. And it's about ensuring that they are incentivized to continue to do that. And it can never be easier, for example, not to go to work, not to take up a job, not to contribute to the economy that way.
That, and do you think there are people doing that, are there?
Well, there are people doing it. I don't think there's a large number of people doing it, but there are. I deal with some of them politically and legally, but that's not the point. The point is the people...
What is the point? Well,
the point is the people who are at work, who are working hard, who are running to stand still in some instances, they have to be looked after. The squeezed middle, as they're often called, people who are at that kind of average income but are still paying the top rate of tax, for example. You have a situation today where there are people who will argue that it's easier for them not to work as hard, not to take the extra hours or whatever it might be, but not to take that. And that disincentivization of work is damaging
Daddy,
to us all.
This is exactly what Leo Varadkar was saying even before he became Taoiseach in 2017, as if nothing has changed in 7 years.
Yeah, but the big difficulty is Leo Varadkar did nothing about it, or did very little about it. I mean, let's not think back too far, Matt. In 2016, Fine Gael went to the country calling for the abolition of the USC, and they haven't done
that. How did they get on with that?
Well, I suppose they suffered a pretty severe reversal in 2016, so I think they had to look again at their agenda. But I think it was something that came up in the run into last year's budget, and we wrote about it significantly and consistently in the Business Post in the run into that budget, because there were certainly mounting calls from within Fianna Fáil to make a meaningful dent into the impact of the USC. I think, you know, that's unlikely. It's unlikely to be abolished, say, in one fell swoop. But I certainly think there is merit in incentivising people who earn maybe 60,000-70,000 euro, who get walloped with 50% for every additional hour that they work, etc., like that. But I think what Simon Harris yesterday was setting out in classic Tony Blair style, vague sort of big ideas without any of the detail or any of the kind of the nitty gritty of how he'll actually do it. That work has to come now. And I think it's not only his work for the last remaining months in the government time, he's setting out what they're going to put in their manifesto for the next election.
Yeah, but what does he really believe in? Do we know? For example, Leo Varadkar was speaking about having a united Ireland in his lifetime. I think he was the first Fine Gael Taoiseach to ever express that as an aspiration. What do we know, for example, of Simon Harris's views in relation to United Ireland? What do we know about Simon Harris's thinking in relation to taxation and the economy, other than repeating in different words what Leo Varadkar had said and not acted upon in relation to rewarding people who go to work?
We don't know a huge amount, because Simon Harris, I don't think, has ever really been in a department where, you know, United Ireland has been in the forefront of his thinking. He will obviously have to set out his stall, be it, and I will expect a round of interviews in papers between now and the weekend. He'll no doubt probably be on television. He could very well...
I hope he'd be on radio here as well, yes.
Going to make that point. He might even make an appearance on Yourself and Ivan Yates' very fine podcast on a Friday night. But I think he will set out a stall. But these are the exact questions that are going to be asked. What does he actually stand for? Because I think that's the criticism leveled at Leo Varadkar. He came out and talked great guns during that leadership campaign about the people who get up early in the morning, kind of a centre-right idea. He never followed that up in government, because, let's see it, from a Fine Gael perspective, they have ballooned national spending. They have increased the size of the state, more so than any left-wing party would ever dream of in times gone by.
So, Barry Ward, you spoke about his energy. We know that he's a good communicator. But what else does Simon Harris really have? Where is the proof that he actually has the skills that are required to be not just the leader of your political party, but to be the Taoiseach, to maintain a relationship with the other party leaders?
Well, first of all, I had a chance to work closely with Simon when he stood into Helen McEntee's shoes for 6 months in the Department of Justice as the Justice spokesperson. I worked closely with him, and I can see not just the energy, but the effectiveness of what he does, his ability to grasp ideas quickly and how to get them through. He's shown, for example, when he was Minister for Health during the pandemic, his ability to take on issues and to give direction to that. But the first thing he's going to do today is to talk to the party leaders. He said yesterday how much he values and recognises the importance of the relationship between the three party leaders within the coalition. He understands that. He's been in politics, notwithstanding his youth, for a very long time. And I'm looking forward to the fact that he can be both a good communicator and a good Taoiseach.
Danny McConnell, to finish with you, might he actually benefit from the lowest of expectations of any Taoiseach taking over that I can remember this century?
I think he can definitely say that even if Fine Gael get a wallop in the local and Europeans, it's not really his fault because he's only just in the door, as Micheál Martin did in 2011. He had only just taken over as leader when they went on to come back with only 19 seats in the Dáil. He's there for the long term. Like, he's not going to be there for, he's not only looking to be there for 3 or 4 years. He, you know, given his age profile, given, as Barry said, you know, his energy, etc., that he's there for the long haul. So I think he's probably looking at,
you don't expect him to burn out like Leo Varadkar?
I don't think so. But again, like, no one expected Leo Varadkar to burn out as quickly as he did. What would be very interesting to see is, come the next election, if there's a hung Dáil yet again, does Simon Harris turn around and genuinely try to put a government together? Or does he do what he would think it's in the party's best interest, go into opposition, regroup, and, you know, kind of build up from there?
We'll get to that in the future. Danny McConnell, editor of the Business Post, Senator Barry Ward of Fine Gael, thank you very much for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.